very good morning to you. I hate that when you're just about to go on air, you get a frog in your throat. So I've asked him to leave and he's gone. But on today's programme, we're going to the referendum. We're also looking for a global youth ambassador for Chicago. Today also, the Coach Festival is upon us. We'll be talking about that extensively. We're looking at space research today. It's really gone to a whole new level, so it has. Also today, we're going motoring with Jerry Murphy. And what not to post on social media. Can't you be surprised what people put up there as well? Jim McCarthy looks at finance. We look at International Women's Day and a lunch taking place this coming Friday in the King's Head. We've got History Talks with Tom Kenny. All of that and much more between now and 12 midday. Just don't go anywhere else. I have to say, I was at a gathering down in Gatherin Toom yesterday, and the amount of people who spoke to me about the more about that during the week, by the way, a wonderful gathering in Gather. A lot of people that I spoke to yesterday asked me what way was I voting when it comes to the referendum this coming Friday. And I said to them, why are you asking? Because they said, we're confused and we don't know what way to vote. And one specific lady asked me, what way am I voting? And I said, well, I kind of have had my mind made up. And then yesterday's debate changed my mind again. But the amount of people, and I would be talking 10, 12 people, would have spoken to me last night and asked me, what's your thoughts on the referendum? So, let's go to the referendum today. Anne-Marie Flanagan joins me. She's a disabled activist indeed and part of the CLEAR Leader Forum and co-founder of Equality Not Care campaign. And she joins me on the line because she is going for a yes-no situation. But she's going to explain to us why, and she joins me on the line. Anne-Marie, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks a million now for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. So you've decided, and again, we're going to discuss this out, you and I together, the constitutional changes that have been proposed, you're going yes, no. Tell me why.
I am voting yes to expand the family, but I suppose for me, the call to action is to ask everybody to really think about the 40th Amendment, which is replacing 41.2 with 42B, which places care within the family, and because of the bonds between us, without any economic obligations by the state to support individuals like myself and thousands of others to have support to access the community so that we can live on an equal basis with others. And it is the government ignored the Citizens Assembly recommendations, which placed support or care everywhere within the home, in the community, and recognised that for a society to be inclusive, that individuals who needed support, whether it's because of our physical impairment or an intellectual impairment or people are ageing, whatever those support needs are.
Can I take you, I'm going to park on the first one, but on the second one that we're talking about here, a no vote for the carers aspect of this. Why are you going there? Is what they're proposing in the Constitution worse than what you currently have from a care point of view?
Yes.
It is, yeah.
No understanding about it, that the proposal of 42B is without a doubt insulating the state with regard to protecting itself around its obligations to provide support. And they're too strong.
Explain that to me. Sorry, Anne-Marie. Just explain that to me. So you're saying that 42B insulates the state of Ireland, the Irish state, from having to provide care to people like you.
Exactly. So it will argue, but we're doing it already. But the progressive issue is that it is refusing to recognise the right to personal assistance, the right to home supports for older people. So it wants to continue it on this charity drip feed approach. And we are the only country in Europe that does not have community services or social services, it's called, in our next door, on a legal footing. I mean, Ireland has this archaic way of providing grant aid to charity organisations, and what is happening is it is forcing older people out of their home, it is forcing disabled people into institutions, and it is forcing family members to provide support to people who have, as we've heard time and time again, some people 24-hour support needs. And then it is providing this tokenistic language without any legal obligation to provide support.
Can I just pause for one second there with you, if you don't mind? And I just want to pair this back, because I said I was in June yesterday at an event, and the amount of people that are confused about this referendum is quite shocking. So we're going to try, you and I are going to try and just kind of work through this. So I'm talking directly to Anne-Marie Flanagan now, the activist that you are. Talk to me about the care that you can get currently now that is suffices your demands. And talk to me about the care if this gets, if it gets a yes majority vote rather than the no vote that you're asking for. What will be different next Monday morning as against this Wednesday morning for you?
So currently people are not getting the support.
Talk to me about you. This is you, if you don't mind. So do you know what I'm saying? I want to personalize it into you.
Thank you. Okay. So I'm a very privileged person in that I have personal assistance services.
Okay.
It's not on a legal basis. So each government over the years has changed its policy on, for example, personal assistance, and it relies on budgets and it relies on the government of the day to determine how much funding is provided. So an example of what happened already, my son was born on the 21st of July 2011, and while I was having my child, there was a memo sent to myself and a couple of hundred people to remove personal assistance services. And rather than enjoying maternity leave, because I was an older mother, I was 38 when I had Robert, I had to spend three months of my maternity leave fighting to keep my personal assistance service. So when I say this is grave and serious, I am living it. The threat of losing a service. So I'm a professional woman, I work full time, I have a mortgage, and I have my responsibility of my mother responsibility, and my parents are aging as well. So I have huge responsibilities. And because of the proposal, it reneges on the state to put personal assistance on a footing, which we have been looking for over 34 years now. And so this is serious. This is not just an emotional reaction. This is our lives.
Okay, but can I go back then to you, the person, just on this one? Do you have an entitlement to have a personal assistant?
That's the problem. There's no entitlement in this country have personal.
Do you feel you should have an entitlement to have a personal assistant?
Absolutely, of course. It is about providing the mechanism for an individual to participate and contribute to society so that I can be an equal member of society. The UNCRPD, which is the United Nations Convention on the Rights Disabilities, Article 19, absolutely says that the state has signed up to it. And FLAC, Free Legal Advice Centre, says that this proposal actually could contravene the state's obligation under that article. This is quite serious.
And could the article we're talking about, so you have a personal assistant currently, you have an entitlement to have a personal assistant, and it is the duty of the government of the day to provide you, Anne-Marie Flanagan, with that personal assistant and pay for that personal assistant. And then if the constitution changes by next Monday, could you get an email saying all personal assistance gone because we don't have a duty of care anymore?
It could completely change the policy. It already has changed the policy around personal assistance a number of times. So I was one of the founders, when personal assistance services were established initially, there was a full recognition of the individual's, goals and outcomes and what could be achieved. Personal assistance service. Now What has happened is people are getting an average of 10 hours a week, which is about 45 minutes a day. So people are basically institutionalized, and our campaign is getting louder, and our rationale and evidence for it is getting stronger. And so I absolutely believe that this is the commodification of disabled people and older people, and saying, no, we don't want to fund in the way you believe it to be true. We will provide some services, but we are making families responsible for other people. And that, I mean, it's being established. I mean, the problem is it's being set up as progressive and recognizing women and men equally, when in actual fact it is codifying inequality and forcing people to be trapped in our homes in a constitution. It's so regressive.
I actually get it, Anne-Marie, because I know people like you, and I know people.
Yeah.
And I know somebody indeed that I spoke to in the last week, and the person's assistant didn't turn up at night time, and they had nobody to help them get to bed. They had to call a family member from a distance to come and help them to get into bed. So I really get it. That's why I'm really meeting it and kind of teasing it out with you from there. But can I just go back to the Citizens Assembly recommendation? I mean, Paul Reid chaired that, the former chief executive of the HSE. And but why did they reject it? Why have a Citizens Assembly to make recommendations and then not take them on board?
I mean, it beggars belief, because when they, I would imagine, when they examined the legal protections that the proposal was offering, this state, this government in particular, it does okay. not want to enshrine rights. I mean, it the balanced, so the, okay. the wording of the Citizens Assembly did provide a balance of socio-economic rights with the recognition that, you know, the Oireachtas does make laws to back it up.
Okay.
But the fact that, yeah, so that's why.
Yeah, no, can I just go back and just say, but again, we're getting comments. Keith, this lady is not making it clear. And, and another caller said to me, so based on what this lady says, we should vote yes or no. I'm confused. So very briefly, can you take me through that? Yeah.
Yeah, and I can say it is absolutely confusing to people. So I'm going to strip it back. In plain English, this 42B is proposing that care only happens between family to family, regardless of the support need. It also removes language of economic obligations by the state and replaces it with strive to support. Legal experts have said, constitutional legal experts have restated time and time again, that that does not provide any protections for a person to protect itself if it was to take a case against the state to try and progress one's rights for support.
Okay.
That is very dangerous.
We won't solve it today, Anne-Marie Flanagan, but you put it out there today. And another caller is just into us here, say, Keith, I'm not voting. I think it's a complete waste of time and money. I'd say turnout is going to be low on that. And another caller said, Keith, I'm totally confused, like the people you spoke about last night. And another caller said, the terror this brings to me as a mother of a special needs son, he has no siblings, as I can't afford to have any more children, and the only family we have is my mother. My son will have no family as he gets older, and I'm really terrified for him.
Can I speak to that woman?
Briefly,
That is why I am putting my heart and soul into this, because what is happening is, particularly with people with, you know, high support needs or an intellectual disability who maybe need somebody to speak up for them, they need to provide the right to support, so that that person, while his mom is able to support him, can put services and supports in place, so that person has the right to stay in the community. The government's own policy document called the Capacity Review says that people, when their parents die, they will be moving into institutions, residential care. We have to end that policy. That's our cake. That's institutionalizing people and making people burdens of the state. So please, everybody, vote no, and please come out and vote.
Or please, people, educate yourself to it. We're going to try and do it over today and tomorrow with you. Just try and educate yourself as to what the differences make. This is the constitution of the land. But thank you indeed for joining us, Anne-Marie Flanagan, today. And a very good morning to you. And thanks to Anne-Marie Flanagan for joining us there. I have come across a case, by the way, of a very good friend of mine, and it's not good. Again, I'm not going into the ins and outs, but it's to do with care as well, I have to say. But I have to talk to that friend. I have to try and meet that friend this afternoon. I'm up to my tonsils, but I'm going to try and talk to that friend. But like, duty of cares is definitely something that needs to be looked into. Now, though, I want to go and I want to move on altogether, but I'm staying with the referendum. So I'm just going to do this and this, if you don't mind, here. And then I can do what I need to do next, and then we're all good to go. Comment lines, by the way, today, if you do want to get in contact with us, we'd love to hear from you on 086 38 33 55 3. And I am going to go now to Alice Mary Higgins, who joins me on the line, because there is still a huge amount of confusion out there. And that confusion is still coming in on the lines here, I have to say, today. So either somebody hasn't done a good job, me maybe as a broadcaster, by informing people. But there you go. Central Alice Mary Higgins joins you on the line today. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us today on the line.
Good morning.
We were just talking there in relation to Anne-Marie Flanagan, and she's a disabled activist indeed and acting on their behalf. But there's massive confusion out there, Central Higgins, in relation to these two referenda.
I think there's huge confusion, and unfortunately, I think as well, there is a lot of inaccuracy out there at the moment.
Yeah.
So we are seeing, I think people are talking about almost two or three different things. So people are, there's the question of what is proposed and people's frustration with what is proposed and feeling that it falls short of what they want. And then there's the question of what we have right now.
Yes.
So, and I think that that's really important, because the choice, you know, when people go into the ballot box on Friday, isn't going to be between what we would like in terms of more ambitious ideas and what's proposed. It's going to be between what's there right now.
Yeah, and that's where I'd like to go with you today, if you don't mind. Can you just tell me what we have currently for both and what we will have in as can, just to demystify
I'll be brief. So in terms of right now, the only family that is recognised in our constitution is the married family.
Yeah.
And that's really important, because it means you don't have recognition of all the kind of diverse families that we know of, lone parent families, families who may not be married.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just affect their rights, but it also affects their recognition, because the constitution says these families are the building block of the state. So half of the families in the state are told they're not the building blocks of the state. That's on the first one. So right now it says the marital family only.
Okay.
If it was changed, it would still have the marital family, but it would recognise those other kinds of family. On the second one...
Yes, now this is where I'm confused on myself even.
The second one, it says that the state recognises by her life within the home, women gives the state a support without which the common good cannot be achieved. And it says that the state should therefore endeavour to ensure mothers should not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labour that neglect their duties in the home.
Okay.
So what's important there?
Can you bring that into simple English
no
for me? When you say endeavour...
There's no rights.
Okay.
Pardon?
Can we go back? Can we make the English simpler on that? Just
sure. So right now, basically, it just says that woman's life in the home is good for everybody. And then it basically says that the state will try, because that's what endeavour means.
Strive.
The state will try to ensure mothers don't have to engage in work that might mean they neglect their duties in the home. So being really clear, there is no right under the current constitution, and that's one of the reasons we have the appalling care systems that we have. There is no economic obligation on the state, simply that the state might endeavour to help women out with money. But it's only actually, in many cases, we know the system has been to give some money to their husbands. That's actually how our social protection system was designed. And also, right now, there is nothing about care in the Constitution. Here in these articles have nothing about care. Care isn't mentioned. Care isn't recognised. Care is invisible.
But
all there is language about duties, specifically the duties of the woman, of the mother, the married mother, in the home.
But currently,
and it's incredibly inadequate. And that's why I think what's being proposed, even though it doesn't go as far as it should, it doesn't do as much as we would like it to do, is a huge step forward from what we have right now.
Okay, so but what we have currently and what they're proposing, what we have currently, do you have implied access to care?
No, care is not mentioned.
Okay, but if I go back to Anne-Marie Flanagan there, if I go back to Anne-Marie Flanagan, she has a personal assistant and she has had them.
Yeah.
I asked her, does she have an entitlement to have a personal assistant? She said, I do. And she went on to say that she has that entitlement.
Under the UN Convention on the Rights of People with a Disability.
But she's saying
the UN Convention on the Rights of People with a Disability, which is something I personally helped fight for and continuing to fight for, the ratifying of the optional protocol, which would give it more teeth. That's the really important legal tool around people with disability accessing their rights. So they do and should have that right. The optional protocol, which government have finally now committed that they will ratify, would allow individuals to take cases under this. So what I think you're seeing is two frustrating long battles, the huge long battle. I know for me, I've been 15 years waiting to change these clauses in the Constitution, and I'm sure others have been much longer. So you have the battle around equality for women being recognised, and then you have the battle around proper rights and supports for persons with a disability.
Okay.
And we almost have, I think that these two things are ending up getting set against each other, when in fact, by voting yes, we can progress one. We can name care for the first time in the Constitution and have it recognised in the Constitution. And then absolutely, that gives, I think, a stronger basis for when we go and fight for more. And I want to just close on the question of personal needs assistance. One thing that I think is really important, in the article at the moment, we heard a lot about people being trapped in the home. In the article at the moment, the language is there, in the home. So it's not just that mothers are meant to be in the home, but actually anybody they might be caring for is in the home as well.
Okay.
In terms of those duties, if we take care as a duty. Whereas in the new language, it talks about care, yes, between members of a family, but it doesn't tie that care to simply being in the home. So I actually think it's a stronger basis for things like personal needs assistance, which allow people to be out and participating fully in society. Okay. And not so, like, as I say, it widens who might be, it names care for the first time versus just duties, which, if you talk about ambiguous phrases, duties is a very ambiguous phrase in the Constitution at the moment. It could mean anything, but it actually names care as the lifeblood of society, as something that we all rely on, acknowledges that it's wider in terms of who does it, and it acknowledges that it happens in a wider place, that it's not just in the home.
Okay, so a yes and a no one here, if you don't mind, Central Mary Alice, Alice Mary Higgins.
Yes.
Just, so where Anne-Marie Flanagan...
Well, I'm yes and yes.
yeah, okay. So where Anne-Marie Flanagan is talking about, she has an entitlement to a personal assistant now. Is that entitlement going to be there if the yes vote gets carried?
That entitlement will still be there because it comes from the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with a Disability. But I would say the battle to make the state deliver it will be, I believe, stronger and have a stronger tool if we vote yes, yes.
But the battle is still there. If this is voted no, the battle is always there,
And the battle is always there. And I think that's the thing. The battle, we have to look at what will, and actually making these things, making care visible in the Constitution for the very first time, is a really strong tool if we want to talk about battling for equality for persons with a disability and persons to live in care. Actually having a different role, women's not being told by the Constitution that the way they contribute to the state is solely by being in the home.
Okay.
Is another important step in the battle for gender equality, which is an ongoing one as well.
So
neither of these battles are over, but I think we'll be in a stronger position with a yes and a yes. And I just want to say, that's why the trade unions are supporting this. That's why we're having...
So you're promoting yes
children's and rights
yes.
groups, we're seeing carers groups, and we're seeing so many civil society groups. These are the people who are in that battle day in, day out.
Okay.
So these are the NGOs who've been trying to get greater equality for people with disability and greater equality for women for decades. And they're telling us that this is a step forward and that this is going to help them in that battle. I'm not naive about government. I believe, it's always going to be pressure, but we'll be in a stronger position with a yes and a yes.
Okay. Before I let you go, how's Dad doing? Doing okay? Are you in contact?
Yes, and he's doing really well. Thank you.
And he will get back to it. Well, he's doing his daily duties. I saw he passed a law yesterday.
Constitutional duties continue. Right. Absolutely.
Give him our regards and thank you, Dee, for joining us today. Senator Alice Mary Higgins joining us there. Oh, the comment lines are hot and heavy, and I think we've kind of tried our best there to give you as best as we can. I'm going to take a short commercial break, and then what I'm looking for is, I am looking for a very much an ambassador for Galway, because the Global Youth Ambassadors Leaders Programme is open in Chicago, so it is. But Nuala Kavanagh is the co-chair of the Galway Sister Cities Committee in Chicago, and a native of Newcastle joins us briefly just after these. A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. I want to go back to Chicago this morning because I want to go to Nuala Kavanagh, who's a native of Newcastle in County Galway, but she's co-chair indeed of the Chicago Sister Cities Committee with Galway City. And she joins me on the line because the Global Youth Ambassador Programme is open for applications, and she's hoping to get some applicants from Galway to get involved in this. Nuala, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for joining us today from the Windy City. Again, the Global Youth Ambassador Programme is open for applications, and you're hoping that somebody in Galway will apply for this.
We are, Keith. The Global Youth Ambassador Programme is run every year, and it's hosted by the Chicago Sister Cities International and also by the University of Illinois in Chicago. It's a week-long programme. It's aimed at girls between the age of 14 and 16. It's a leadership program. It's an absolutely amazing program. It's hosted every year. It covers various different topics, but it's really to empower emerging leaders. It covers leadership, activism, advocacy. It is aimed at girls who show any kind of potential in leadership. It's a great program for girls. It's aimed at girls from Chicago itself, but also it's open to girls who are from any of its sister cities. And Galway is a really active sister city of Chicago, so we would love to have somebody from Galway representing Galway. So what we'd love to do is get any girl from Galway who would be interested in the programme. They need to be aged between the age of 14 and 16, and just to get an application in by March the 10th.
And how do they go about getting that application and putting that together?
So what they would do is they would go on to, we have a website, chicagosistercities.com. And I don't know if you're able to provide a link on your website for that, Keith, are you? On Galway BFM?
We will indeed, yeah. We can do that after the programme.
Okay, that'd be great. So they could go on there, they could find further details about the programme itself. And under the initiatives then, the programme is actually listed. So they could see the application there. It's a fairly simple application. They would need a letter of recommendation from one of their teachers, and they would get the application then filled in there. But it's a really, really interesting programme. Normally the programme is run in person, but since COVID, we've ran it virtually. The programme actually takes place from July the 13th through the 20th. And because everybody is from a different time zone, because Chicago has 28 sister cities, we have Osaka, Japan, we have Hamburg, Germany. Just to give an example, we have Birmingham in England. And then, of course, we have Galway in Ireland. But to get everybody in on the same time zone, the programme is going to be run from July the 13th to the 20th, as I said, and it'll be ran Chicago time from 8 to 10, which I think is, what time is that your time? Is that about?
It would be 4 o'clock our time.
2 o'clock?
Yeah, so it would be running.
Okay, so I think about 2 to 4, something like that, your time,
yeah,
in the afternoon. So the nice thing about Keith is you're actually interacting with girls from all different cultures, and you're learning from them, and you get a chance to build relationships with those girls also. And the relationships tend to continue after the workshop takes place. So a lot of them end up being pen pals, continuing the relationship, and they end up being friends, and sometimes they end up visiting each other in their countries.
Wow.
afterwards.
So the key message then, Nuala Kavanagh, on this one would be quite simply, if you're interested, or if your daughter or granddaughter or student is between the ages of 14 and 16, this application on Chicago's sister cities, and we'll put the link on our website, galwaybfm.ie, it's there. But again, how long would it take from when the application goes in to know if and they're successful?
So they're actually looking at the program. The deadline for the application to be in is March the 10th.
Yeah.
And then that'll be reviewed kind of in the month after that. So it usually takes up to probably about 2 months to get the word out afterwards.
Okay. And again, it's all based from home. And again, Chicago time here. And again, it's a life-changing experience, because we've spoken many times with some of the participants in the past, and it's changed their lives forever.
Yeah, it has. It has. I mean, it's just, they work on different kind of, different topics, and they're absolutely amazing. They'll work on a lot of gender-based topics, you know, how girls are treated maybe differently to guys in different situations. They'll work on topics that are different policies that are kind of created in towns, homelessness, taking cares of refugees, but with a focus more on the girls' side of things rather than the boys, how the gender treatment makes a difference in different situations. Mm. So it's really, really interesting for the girls themselves. It's also great, I mean, to, you know, when you're heading off to college, if anybody is interested, you know, if girls that age ever think, oh my gosh, they see something happening on the street and they think, oh my God, there should be something done about that, then this is the type of program they need to get involved in. Mm. Because, you know, somebody thinks, oh my gosh, I need to make, you know, do something to change this. Well, you've definitely got a thought in your mind process about, I need to change something. So this is the type of program that would inspire you to create change.
Okay, so the clock is ticking. You're talking about Sunday next is the closing date, Mother's Day. So you need to get stuck into this and get stuck into it very quickly. Nuala, thanks indeed for joining us today. And we hope that Galway will be well represented there. So the Global Youth Ambassador Programme, go to galwaybfm.ie and get further details of it. And also Chicago Sister Cities, just put that into your Google and then follow it down to Global Youth Ambassador and get further details from there. Thank you, Nuala. And again, further details can be had from there. The best way to oblige the state to provide support is to vote yes, this caller said, and stop creating fear, Keith. Unfortunately, Anne-Marie is not representing the Citizens' Assembly looking for at all. It is incorrect, Keith, what you're talking about. And I would be happy indeed to clarify. A lot of other comments coming into us as well today. There's some sad news after coming into the screen. I need to verify it if it's true. I just need to verify it. We'll be back shortly. Stay tuned. We're going to Cork next. Now, a very good morning to you. Yeah, there's a bit of sad news coming the way. I do believe I need to verify it before I say anything at all about it, because I don't want to upset anybody, because I'm very, very good at that. But I'm not going to upset my next guest, because the Cork Festival Director, Manuela Moser, joins me in studio. And I was just looking at it early this morning, indeed. Morning to you, first off. How are you today?
Hi, how are you doing?
Well, somebody let Rita come in. She's going to come through the window otherwise. I think she wants to take a photograph. Congratulations, first of all, on another festival as well. And it's running this year from the 23rd of April to the 28th of April.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we're really excited to be launching the programme today for the 39th Kirch Festival. We've got such an amazing lineup that we are just like really excited to share with everyone.
Now, I've been with the Kirch team since the very beginning, the 39th Kirch Festival, indeed, this is. But I mean, when I look at the list of names, Paul Lynch, John Banville, Rita Ann Higgins, Adele Coffey, Elaine Feeney, Mary Costello, Mike McCormack, Paul Murray, Jackie Kay, Sinead Gleeson, and it goes on and on and on.
Yeah, it really does.
This seems to be, I hate saying it, but this seems to be one of the busier ones.
Well, hopefully it's a busy one. There's so many amazing writers around today that we really wanted to make sure that there was something for everyone and that we could, you know, make space to celebrate as much writing as possible.
Mm. Have you a highlight for you, or are you just going to enjoy every bit of it?
I think I'm going to enjoy every bit of it. There's a few highlights. We've got some amazing poetry this year. We've got Friday night, Lemsisay is coming over, which will be an amazing performance. And on Saturday afternoon, the Palestinian poet Rafif Sadar will be performing. And then later on Saturday, Sinead Gleeson, obviously, as you mentioned, there will be launching her new novel, which is very exciting. And we've got, I mean, we've got so many launches of new books. We've got Elaine Feeney's new poetry collection, which is being launched, and Nuala O'Connor as well with her new novel.
Another very talented person.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we're actually kicking off the week on Tuesday with a launch for Nuala in the McLally Theatre.
Wow. The launch itself, I love the image. So this is the programme.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you've done a kind of retro, which I like, and it's done in pink and black as well. The image, where'd you get the image?
The image is a piece of artwork by Miriam de Burka. It's called All That Survives, and it is a really, it's really beautiful piece of artwork. And we've actually, we've got a couple of pages in the back of the program. If you kind of pick one up around town, we'll be distributing them tomorrow. There's a bit of a story behind the artwork that we've included within the back of the program, and we've actually included in the program a couple of posters from the from past festivals, because we're thinking forward to next year being 40 years.
I'm looking at them here. I mean, the I got above they're all stunning. And this one this year, and I love it. Do you agree with me, it's kind of gone retro, the program?
I don't know if it's gone retro. What would I say? I just, I guess that's, it's just where my eye was drawn. Maybe.
I love
it's simple.
I love the pink aspect of it, the pink within it.
Yeah.
It's a brave move, I think, to do it, but I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, from there.
So where's the launch on today? And what
the launch is on today at 6 p.m. in the Oyster Bar in the Hardiman Hotel. And yeah, we're looking forward to
and
that.
Will you be reading poetry at that tonight?
I'm not sure if I'll be reading poetry. Maybe I will. Adele Coffey will be there giving us a few words from her new book, and Finney from Charlie Burns will say a few words as well.
Oh, and he can read poetry very well, so he can.
Yes.
Tickets then, when will tickets go on
sale? Tickets will be on sale at 10:30 this morning.
Wow.
Yeah, so you can go to the website at 10:30 and access all tickets, which are sold through the Town Hall Theatre ticketing system.
Yeah.
The website will be live at 10:30, so please go and check it out and hopefully enjoy it.
What do you mean, hopefully?
Hopefully,
enjoy it?
Definitely enjoy it. It's a, yeah.
Manuela, they're going to love it, for God's sake. I know there's a major event on the 20th, I think it is, for Rita and Higgins in the Town Hall.
Yeah.
So that's going to bring a lot of people in for that. And then it'll kick off then on the 23rd of, that's taking place on the 20th of March. And then 23rd of April, you'll be fully up and running.
Fully up and running, yeah. And we're closing out the entire week with a poetry event with Rita and Higgins, Elaine Feeney, Jackie Kay and Susanna Dickey in the Town Hall Theatre, which I think will be marvellous.
That's going to be so fun, so it is. Do you know, we have such gems. You mentioned, I'm biased, of course, but Rita and Higgins will be. Rita Ann was in with me recently and she gave me a present of three of her books.
Oh, wow.
And I've gone through them. They're just wonderful.
Yeah.
They're just splendidly wonderful. Elaine Feeney, again, just a wonderful person.
Mm-hmm.
John Banville, of course, Paul Lynch. So you really are bringing in the creme de la creme, so you are.
Oh, I hope so. That's the aim.
Including yourself. Listen, thank you for joining us
today. Thank
you today.
So much.
And congratulations. Is Rita McMahon your bodyguard now at this stage?
No, she's just...
Were you afraid to come into us this morning?
No, not at all. I just don't have a car.
So she's the chauffeur now as well. Rita. Well, she is driving a fine new, brand new car, so she is. Just for you. Manuela, thank you indeed
thank
for joining
you so
us today
me.
On the programme. Not at all.
Thanks.
Now, yet to come to the programme, by the way, we have loads to come on the programme, so we have today. We'll be looking at space, by the way. Dr. Christian Jinsky, indeed, joins me on the line today, and we'll be looking at space extensively. Some of the other comments coming in, I have time to look at them as well. Keith, what's the point in sending in texts when you won't read them out? I will read all of the texts in that I got once I moderate them, okay? So put that in your pipe and smoke it from there. Keith, would you mind asking your listeners if anybody's Facebook page expired yesterday? Not sure if it's a genuine problem or a scam. Thank you. That comes from Bridie. Bridie, I did read something on the news feeds last night that there was a major problem from there. And will getting into nursing home on the Fair Deal be gone and the family have to care for their loved ones if you vote yes? Maybe the nursing homes are earmarked for something else. That is the greatest load of hogwash I've come across. This doesn't affect Fair Deal at all. And believe me, I'm an expert on Fair Deal, unfortunately. This has nothing to do with Fair Deal. Fair Deal stands independent. So that's misinformation, if that's out there. We'll be back with more information next.